From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's a bright and beautiful start to the holiday weekend, and it is only getting warmer from here. I'll let you know when it could feel more like early June coming up.
Plus, millions of people are expected to travel to their holiday Easter destinations. What you can expect at RDU and on the roads.
And a season focused on redemption ends in regret and an early tournament exit for UNC. But two other Triangle teams hope to punch their ticket to the Elite Eight tonight.
Okay, so with that in mind, we'll give you this live look right there at the Franklin Street intersection and Chapel Hill. And the sun's shining brightly on this Good Friday. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It sure is beautiful out there with all that sunshine. Temperatures are warming up today, and they will just keep going up. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with your Easter weekend planner.
And it is looking great. A lot of smiles when you see this Easter weekend forecast. 77 degrees tomorrow, plenty of sunshine. 81 degrees on Easter Sunday. It's going to be warm and breezy throughout the weekend. If we take a closer look at your Sunday planner, temperatures will be in the mid-50s in the morning, warming all the way up to 75 by lunchtime, low 80s for the afternoon, and mid-70s for your dinner forecast. High pressure has started to build in from the west, and that's why we've got this warming wind from west to east, the flow today. It will stay pretty breezy through the weekend, but that's what warms us up. We've got this warming wind coupled with our jet stream lifting to the north. Take a closer look at our temperature. 67 is the normal high this time of year, 10 degrees above normal, and then we're even up to 84 degrees on Monday. That's the normal high for late May into early June, to put that into perspective. We stay in the 80s on Tuesday, and then temperatures start to trend down by the middle of next week. I'll have a closer look at your weekend forecast on Futurecast and when things begin to change coming up.
All right, Kat, I want to take a look at traffic here. Of course, a lot of people are going to be heading out for Easter weekend. As we take a look at those live sensors, not picking up any unusual delays at this point. There are a few minor crashes around Raleigh, not affecting traffic, though, on major routes. There was an earlier crash on 40 eastbound right around Wade Avenue. A little bit of a brake tap situation going on through there, but not seeing any big backups. Also, a little bit of a slowdown starting to build on 40 westbound heading out of Chapel Hill back toward the Hillsboro area. Take a live look at 40 at Harrison Avenue in Cary. If you're heading to the airport, you're in good shape on 40 westbound from Raleigh. 540 westbound out of North Raleigh also looking good. And at the moment, 40 eastbound looks fine out of Chapel Hill and South Durham.
Brian, thanks. If you're traveling this weekend, be prepared for traffic on the road and at the airport. You're looking live now at RDU. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey explains there will be a lot of people on the move for Easter weekend and for spring break trips.
Spring break, Easter weekend, and an upcoming solar eclipse could all impact travelers here at RDU. This weekend and next week are going to be the peak of spring travel season. Here's a look at crowds here at RDU around 6 o'clock this morning. The FAA is reminding travelers, give yourself a little extra time at the airport, especially next week. They say there could be special security measures like temporary flight restrictions on April 8th. That's because of a solar eclipse. This could impact crowds at airports across the country. Or maybe you're hitting the road this Easter weekend. 60% of people are likely to take a road trip this year. That's according to a survey from Nationwide. Law enforcement across the state are cracking down on speeding this holiday weekend.
Every spring, the number of people who are on the road increase. And, you know, they're going from place to place, often for vacation, a little more for work, with the warmer weather. So with that comes an increase in speed-related crashes.
Definitely be safe out there on those roadways. And if you want any information about all things spring travel season, head to our website, WRAL.com. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News at RDU.
We're also tracking gas prices for you. They are slowly rising. New numbers from AAA today show the national average is $3.54. That's 22 cents more than a month ago. North Carolina's average is $3.27 a gallon. That's up 12 cents from last month. Find the cheapest gas near you by searching Fuel Tracker on WRAL.com.
Two 13-year-old boys are recovering after being shot yesterday. Durham police say they were called to go to the hospital because two people showed up there with gunshot wounds. It's believed the shooting happened in the area of Ridgeway Avenue and Lakeland Street. WRAL's Monica Casey spoke with locals there about how they're feeling with the latest act of violence in an area that struggled with these issues before.
Police responded to a local hospital just after 4:30 yesterday afternoon for a walk-in gunshot wound. They found two 13-year-old boys with non-life-threatening injuries. The investigation so far suggests it happened at this intersection near a park right next to McDougald Terrace.
I feel like it's particularly unfair to the residents who live in this part of town because, like just being out a kid in public playing in the playground in the afternoon on a Thursday, no, it doesn't feel safe. So I feel sad for those families who have to consider that as part of their daily schedules.
Durham police say this is still an active investigation and they have no other details to share right now. In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
Two people are being treated for serious injuries after a shooting at a Raleigh community center. One person was shot around 8:45 in the 2600 block of Sanderford Road. As police arrived, the driver of a Jeep sped away and crashed on Evers Drive near Keith Drive. The motive is not clear, and neither person has been identified.
New this noon, a Warrenton police officer accused of excessive force is off the job. WRAL Investigates received video of one traffic stop where the officer used his taser despite pleas from a woman.
Get off of me!
Get out of the car!
Get off of me! What is wrong with you?
Out of the car!
What is wrong with you? Get off of me!
The State Bureau of Investigation is looking into whether Sergeant Mark Oakley used his taser when it wasn't necessary. Oakley was previously put on leave, and the town says it's cooperating with the investigation. He had been with Warrenton Police since 2018.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a massive effort to clean up after the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed in Baltimore is underway right now. A large crane is on scene. Officials are conducting a full assessment of the debris before they can take all of that debris out of the water. It's described as the largest crane on the eastern seaboard. The one you see there can lift up to 1,000 tons. Divers are working in low visibility conditions. They'll have to cut the bridge into manageable sections in order for it to be removed. Another crane is also supposed to arrive from New York from the New York area to Baltimore by tomorrow. But as salvage efforts are underway, the National Transportation Safety Board also gathering evidence at the scene, also interviewing witnesses and analyzing the ship's data recordings. We've also learned that the Biden administration has approved $60 million in emergency funding for this project.
Michelle, thanks. Today, we're remembering the life and legacy of Louis Gossett Jr. The award-winning actor died this morning in Santa Monica, California. WRAL's Ken Smith is here now with a look back at a life steeped in acting and activism. Ken.
Renee, Louis Gossett Jr. is considered a Hollywood legend, and while his work on screen is so deeply appreciated, he was most proud of his work as an activist. He played some of television, stage, and screen's most recognized characters in 1977 in the landmark television drama Roots, playing the fiddler, for which he won an Emmy. In 1982, his Oscar-winning performance as Best Supporting Actor, playing a hard-tasked Marine drill sergeant in An Officer and a Gentleman. Over the years, many roles on stage and on the small screen made Gossett a household name. In one interview years ago, though, he reflected on the experiences that drove him as an activist to end racism.
I had to relearn the importance of what it takes to survive in this town. And I had to act as if I was second class. And I had to ingest the onus of being an African-American person in America.
Over the years, he battled drug and alcohol addiction, as well as a bout with prostate cancer. He eventually got clean and once again enjoyed a successful acting career in recent years. He went on to start a nonprofit called E-Racism, dedicated to ending racial prejudice, starting with children and young people. Gossett also appeared in the last year's remake of The Color Purple. His distinguished body of work on screen and activism off screen are his legacy. Louis Gossett Jr. was 87 years old today.
We do not yet know his exact cause of death, but what a legacy he leaves behind. Ken, thank you.
Tough night on the court for the Tar Heels as UNC lost to Alabama 89-87 in the Sweet 16 version of this year's NCAA tournament. Armando Bacot and RJ Davis pushed the Tar Heels out to a first half lead, but the Crimson Tide scored the go-ahead basket in the last minute and finished off the game and the Heels' season. NC State and Duke are still in the tournament. The Wolfpack play Marquette tonight, 7:09 tip-off. 30 minutes after that game ends, Duke will play top-seeded Houston. If both local teams win, they will play each other in the Elite Eight on Sunday. WRL's Chris Lee is in Dallas, and he'll have coverage of both those games tonight.
The weather is perfect for the annual Durham Rescue Mission's Easter community event. This is a live look at the mission where people are lined up to get their free meal and some free giveaways. Volunteers starting to serve those meals right now. They were cooking a barbecue this morning. That hot, hearty meal will include barbecue, hot dogs, baked beans, and more. There will also be an Easter basket giveaway for kids and prize drawings for adults as well.
A great annual event. Next at noon, police reforms are being blocked in Tennessee. The laws put in place after the beating death of Tyree Nichols and why the governor there is not enforcing them.
Also, tiki torches that pose a burn hazard. The recall in place right now for certain types of citronella flames.
Plus, honoring Vietnam War era veterans. At 12:30, we take you to Fort Liberty for the special event honoring the military.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
UNC law students say they're disappointed with a judge's decision to deny the release of Raleigh police body cam footage showing a so-called quick knock warrant. This involves a case from 2021 when police stormed into the home of Amir Aboud seconds after knocking on the door. The judge says too much time has passed since the warrant was served and that the execution of the warrant was done in an orderly and standard process. They also say the video doesn't have a compelling public interest. Students with the UNC Civil Legal Assistance Clinic who represent Aboud say this outcome has strong grounds for an appeal, but the decision to file one is up to their client.
And I have a lot of concern with the fact that the release of this footage was denied. I feel like we're not giving citizens the ability to even see that quick knock warrants are happening.
Executing these warrants, you know, and barging the door within a few seconds, it doesn't really give people in the home even time to react.
The students also made the argument that body cameras are meant to establish a sense of transparency to the public. They argue if you deny that transparency, you're denying the very thing taxpayers are paying for. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed a bill into law that blocks cities from enacting some local police reforms introduced after the deadly police beating of Tyree Nichols. The measure in Memphis prohibited police stops for minor infractions. The 2023 ordinance was passed by the Memphis City Council in the months after Nichols was severely beaten by officers during a traffic stop. Police originally said they stopped Nichols for reckless driving. Camera footage later showed no evidence of probable cause for the traffic stop. Nichols was hospitalized and died several days later after his injuries.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, an update to a story that we brought you this morning. A man has died after he was shot this morning at a home in Lumberton. Police responded to that home around 12:30 this morning. They found Charles Bethea. He was transported to the hospital with multiple gunshot wounds where he later died. Bobby Jones has been arrested. He is charged with first-degree murder. He is in the Robeson County Detention Center under no bond. As a record number of immigrants pour into the U.S., many Americans are moving elsewhere. The number of U.S. expatriates in European countries is on the rise. Alex Hogan explains why an increasing number of Americans are leaving the United States.
Americans are moving to Europe in growing numbers.
It's the largest group coming that wants to relocate for a better life.
Relocation specialists say Americans right now are pointing to the same two problems.
Safety reasons and for politics reasons.
Our Boston market had a mass shooting. The local pizza place that I went to on a regular basis had a mass shooting.
Brian and Janice say they left their home in Washington, D.C. for a more affordable and safer life in Portugal.
I don't fear for my life here.
Politics back home also came into play.
There's nobody good to vote for. There's nobody who's going to help the country.
According to Eurostat, the number of U.S. citizens moving to the European Union first spiked after the 2016 election. Relocation companies tell Fox that that trend really kicked off in 2020.
We anticipate with this coming elections, that it becomes even more, you know, relevant for people to act on it.
People like Wesley Tan, who moved from LA to Poland.
Having the flexibility to be able to leave and move to another country if you want is very powerful.
In 2022, the number of U.S. citizens relocating within the European Union climbed by 28%. The majority of Americans are moving to France, then Spain, Germany, the Netherlands, and then Italy. But some smaller countries are making big waves for what they can offer. 79-year-old Linda Corin from Santa Fe, New Mexico, will move to Portugal at the start of April in hope of a California-like retirement without the West Coast price tag.
The climate is marvelous, and the sea is even more marvelous. And so if you add all of that together, it's a great decision as far as I'm concerned.
Portugal seems to be pretty popular. That was Alex Hogan reporting. And Americans who've left the country say they don't regret the move, but they warn others not to underestimate the culture shock factor and the red tape of moving.
People in Iceland experienced a beautiful collage of color Thursday. Yeah, what is happening there? A volcano in the southwestern region of the country erupted once again. This time, though, the orange lava was met with the northern lights. A time-lapse video captured the two events coinciding with each other. That region has experienced several eruptions in recent months. People who live there in those nearby towns evacuated before the first eruption in December.
Such explosion of color, the northern lights on my bucket list. Iceland also on my bucket list. I don't want to move there, but I do want to visit there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We can. I know one person who has.
Yeah, who can give us some recommendations.
In this room.
Right. I do a lot of northern lights and aurora forecasting. There's actually Space Weather Prediction Center. So I look into that all the time just for fun on the side. So one of these days we'll get there. We'll all go on a group trip up that way.
Sounds like fun.
You know, nature's colors in those videos of the volcanoes and the northern lights showing up there. Here at home, we've got some beautiful weather to look forward to. 81 degrees on Easter Sunday, 84 on Monday. It's going to be feeling more like summer, 83 Tuesday. If you have outdoor plans Sunday, maybe you've got an Easter egg hunt, do not forget the sunscreen. That spring sun, and when you get these warm temperatures, can really sting sometimes. So just a heads up, and don't forget the allergy medicine as well. Southern Ponds, the Longleaf Golf and Family Club, it is busy today. A great day for golf. Apex looking bright and beautiful. Top of the Hill Restaurant in Chapel Hill, a live look there. At some folks out and about on this Friday, and looking pretty good in Clinton as well. If you want to head to the playground with your family, it's going to be a great day to do so. Not too hot, not too cold. Temperatures are in the upper 60s by 3-4 o'clock today. Maybe before 10. Or head that way and enjoy some sunshine. It is going to be breezy outside. Winds will be gusting to about 25 miles per hour through dinner time tonight, and then the wind should settle down a bit later on tonight, but we maintain a light breeze even overnight. Let's talk about the weekend. Tomorrow it's going to be beautiful. We've got the southwest wind around 10 to 15 miles per hour, and that's going to be warming us up throughout the day. We hit 77 degrees for the high tomorrow. Notice the clouds to our north up in Virginia. We're going to be watching this front that's to our north throughout the day. Sunday, it's likely to stay in Virginia early on, and we maintain the southwest wind on Sunday to keep warming us up to 81, but this front could drop close to the North Carolina-Virginia line, and because of that, Sunday night, this would be late Sunday night, we can't rule out an isolated shower, perhaps a storm in our counties bordering Virginia. We're not expecting to see that here in the Triangle or anywhere else. It's a minimal chance. I just can't rule it out, so I wanted to mention it. It's a 20% chance for rain Sunday night, similar setup Monday, giving us that 20% chance for rain. But really, the next significant rain chances come late Tuesday night into Wednesday, and we'll be watching for a thunderstorm mixed in there. Tomorrow, if you're headed to the beach, temperatures are in the upper 60s to lower 70s, mid-60s for the Outer Banks, and Sunday, beach temps will be in the low to mid-70s. A great beach weekend for Easter and spring break. So anybody headed that way, it's going to be beautiful outside. Got a nice forecast for the next several days. Things begin to turn Tuesday into Wednesday, and that storm system that's headed our way could bring severe weather to other parts of the country. It's worth watching that setup here locally. We'll talk more about that coming up in the next half hour.
And highs in the low 80s? Very nice.
June.
Okay, a little early, yes. In the first 3 months of the year, WRAL has reported on four young people who've been arrested for three separate murders in Raleigh. Today at 4, WRAL data journalist Allie Ingersoll investigates the rise in youth violence in our area. and details the effect it has on the juvenile justice system.
And tonight at 5, B health scores were an improvement for a couple of restaurants in our area. 5 on Your Side has this week's restaurant ratings report. Still ahead this noon, warmer weather means more outdoor gatherings. But if you plan to light one particular tiki torch, don't do it. We'll tell you why the company is recalling this common backyard staple.
And the company calls it the most trusted automatic fire extinguishing ball. But the government says it could put your family in danger. The reasons why it wants them off the market.
BJ's Wholesale Club is recalling about 90,000 tiki torches that could pose a burn hazard. The top of the citronella on the Berkley Jensen 72-inch torch could break open or fall off while lit. The torches were sold nationwide and on the company's website from January 2015 through November 2023. If you have one, stop using it and return it to BJ's for a full refund. The company has received 9 incident reports, including 2 that resulted in burns. Another big box wholesaler is cracking down on the food courts. A customer in Orlando, Florida, took a picture of a sign at Costco saying people without an active Costco membership card won't be allowed to buy items from the food court. This rule has always been in place, but analysts say it was never really enforced. The membership card rule officially becomes effective April 8th.
Facebook's news tab is coming down early next month. The decision comes as Facebook looks to slim down its political and news content following criticism of misinformation. Its parent company, Meta, says users will still have access to news articles and organizations can still promote posts and websites. Meta says the change will not affect who users follow, but it will affect how it recommends content. North Carolina has surpassed its goal of electric vehicle registrations 2 years early. 80,000 EVs are on the road in North Carolina, which is a milestone in the fight against climate change. It also means an increased demand for charging stations. The DOT has funded more than 1,000 charging ports across the state, and in the coming weeks, will release a proposal for the first round of fast chargers in North Carolina.
Honoring local Vietnam War veterans. We'll take you live to Fort Liberty for this special event.
The largest crane on the eastern seaboard is now part of the salvage operation in Baltimore. We'll explain how long the removal process could take. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
At this hour, a special event is taking place at Fort Liberty. The military is honoring local Vietnam War veterans. Today is Vietnam Veterans Day. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is on post, where about a dozen of those service members are receiving special recognition. Gilbert.
Yeah, really, this is a special day here. As a matter of fact, there's a raffle going on and everything, so we're in the middle of the ceremony that's going on out here. We're at the South Commissary out here, and this is where they're honoring these veterans that you're talking about here. And it is a special recognition because not only for their service, but about the way they were treated when they came back here. Let me show you some pictures of what's happening a little bit earlier today as this was going on. This is the 9th year for the United States of America Veteran Vietnam War Commemoration, and it is in observance of the more than 6.5 million living Vietnam War veterans and their family members. Now, the numbers are really astounding. We're talking about 2.7 million U.S. service members who served in Vietnam, and of that number, 58,000 were killed in action and more than 300,000 were wounded. But the sad part of all this is that this Vietnam story is just the fact that the way these service members were treated when they returned home. No parades, no glory. They were frowned upon. And that's why celebrations like the one that's going on right here is so very important.
Doing this now. I think this is wonderful. This is something that should have been done over a half a century ago. But it's never too late to say thank you. And it's never unappreciated. And I, for one, appreciate the outpouring of support from the community.
And we're looking forward to here in a few moments. Here, these Vietnam veterans are going in attendance. Are going to get a commemorative lapel pin in recognition of their service and also the sacrifice and honor. Right now, they're trying to win one of these prizes here. But, you know, again, this is very significant. I've talked to a lot of the veterans who are here. And, Renee, they said, you know, this is Vietnam Veterans Day, but they would hope that their service and sacrifice is remembered every day across this country.
And it is never too late to say thank you. We hope they feel the support and appreciation and gratitude decades later. Gilbert, thank you.
Work is underway to reopen the Port of Baltimore as quickly as possible. Cleanup is one thing, but Caroline Shively reports the process to start rebuilding may not move as quickly.
On Friday, crews prepared to remove debris from the water surrounding what is left of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore so they can continue the search for four missing workers. To clear the channel, they're using the largest crane on the East Coast capable of lifting 1,000 tons.
Getting the Port of Baltimore running again at full speed is a priority given all the jobs that are associated with it, all the small businesses, all the other businesses.
The Transportation Department has approved $60 million in federal emergency funding to clear the Key Bridge. President Biden says his plan is for the federal government to foot the entire bill, but that's up to Congress. The cleanup and rebuild is estimated to cost at least $400 million and possibly up to $1 billion.
We want to be clear that this is just a down payment, the $60 million. It is not the final payment.
The timetable could be 18 months to several years.
This work will not take hours. This work will not take days. This work will not just take weeks. We have a very long road ahead of us.
Ms. Caroline Shively reporting, and another large crane is expected to arrive from the New York area by tomorrow. Most experts estimate it'll take a month or so to remove the debris and reopen the channel.
We all know it's hard to get into a prestigious school like Duke, but new numbers reveal just how hard it is. This year's admission cycle for the class of 2028 wrapped up, showing the lowest acceptance rate on record. 47,951 students applied for regular decision. That in itself is also a record. And only 4.1% of those applicants got into Duke. That's down from 4.8% last year. This marks the first admission cycle since the landmark Supreme Court ruling in June. The high court said race as a factor in the admissions process is unconstitutional. Students at St. Augustine's University will not be returning to campus for classes after the Easter holiday. Only a few students are still left on campus, as all classes will go virtual on April 1st. As WRAL has reported for months, the university owes millions of dollars to the IRS and contractors.
You'll see extra law enforcement on the roads this holiday weekend. It's all part of an effort to crack down on speeding across North Carolina. WRAL's Aaron Thomas joined a Wake County deputy for a ride-along on I-40 on Thursday. The sheriff's office and other agencies across the state are participating in the Speed a Little, Lose a Lot campaign this week. 52 people across North Carolina died so far this year in speed-related crashes.
Every one of those statistics is a life lost. That's a family member, a friend, a community member who's no longer there.
The Speed a Little, Lose a Lot enforcement campaign runs through Easter Sunday.
At the top of the hour, we took you live to the Durham Rescue Mission for its annual Easter community event. And this year, inflation is hitting lots of people across the triangle and beyond extra hard. Here is a live look there at the event underway, and you can see quite a turnout there. They're giving away bikes and other Easter baskets, and volunteers are also serving a free meal to folks as well. That meal will include barbecue, hot dogs, baked beans, and more. And there will be that Easter basket giveaway for kids and prize drawings for adults as well. So nice to see that glorious weather for the event.
The organization that makes the wishes of kids who have cancer come true needs help. How you can help make a difference.
Plus the progress the IRS is making in prosecuting people who lied to get COVID relief loans. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories for coverage you'll find only on WRAL. Go to WRAL.com and search only. The Social Security Administration is taking action to protect some Americans from losing money benefits when getting food assistance. As of September 30th, people who get funds through supplemental security income will no longer have the amount reduced when they receive food, shelter, or other benefits. those benefits currently count against and reduce monthly cash support. SSI recipients include elderly individuals and people with disabilities who have limited resources. The IRS's criminal investigation unit has looked into more than 1,600 cases related to COVID fraud. The tax fraud and money laundering cases amount to nearly $9 billion. The agency says almost 800 people have been indicted for their alleged COVID-related crimes. Nearly half have been sentenced to time in federal prison. The criminal investigation unit says it plans to continue investigating now that they have additional resources provided by the Inflation Reduction Act.
A consumer agency says a fire-extinguishing product shouldn't be used, but the maker disagrees. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says it is warning people not to use a lead brand fire-extinguishing balls in the event of a fire. The regulating agency says the products may fail to spread fire-retardant chemicals when deployed and don't have protective devices to prevent unintentional discharge. Elead says the product isn't a fire extinguisher substitute, but an additional aid and shouldn't be compared with fire extinguishers and safety. April is World Wish Month, but the Make-A-Wish Foundation needs help granting more wishes for kids diagnosed with cancer. The nonprofit organization announced its new campaign to recruit 1 million new wish makers. Make-A-Wish needs donors, volunteers, corporate partners, and influencers.
A new project is turning light from the sky into sound.
Even though we can't see something, it doesn't mean that we can't experience something.
And that experience involves hearing the total solar eclipse, how one company is using technology to make that possible.
Beyoncé's new album came out overnight. The twist Queen Bee is bringing to classic country song Jolene, featuring Dolly herself. That's coming up.
Welcome back. With all that sunshine and warmer temperatures, may we suggest visiting the WRAL Azalea Gardens. Lots to see there. My favorite, the tulips right now. You're watching WRAL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. It is open to the public. A new travel trend has people booking getaways for a chance to get quality rest. Sleep tourism has been a growing craze for several years, but it's become even more popular since the pandemic. Research shows people are more focused on wellness and well-being. More hotels and resorts around the world are offering sleep-focused vacations. This includes amenities such as innovative soundproof rooms, ambient lighting, and no distractions like TVs or phones, all to help you get better sleep.
Was the rest you got on your sleep vacation worth the trip?
Honestly, when I embarked on this journey, I was expecting it not to be, and I really was surprised that I truly got some of the best sleep I had ever had.
Some resorts and spas are also offering AI-equipped smart beds, meditation, and yoga as part of their sleep tourism packages. Ideally, experts say we should be getting at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night, but so many of us fall short of that
night. We do. A Texas man hopes April 8th 13 is his lucky number. Instead of traveling the world to see the solar eclipse, he'll only have to drive a few miles to see one. The retired engineer saw his first eclipse in 1963, and he was hooked. He even built a telescope, and he remembers all 12 previous celestial events he's witnessed. Thanks to photos and keepsakes, he has memories of traveling the world with his late wife, Mary, and his two children.
If it stays clear, you just keep watching it. You know, when it goes, you use your glasses when it's partial eclipse, but when it's total, take those up and look at it. And it's just something that's beautiful to see. It'll excite you.
It is pretty cool. Mr. Beiser, who you just heard from there, lives in Fort Worth. He plans to travel to Plano on the 8th and take along his daughter.
What experience that will be. A tech company is creating a way for some people to experience the upcoming solar eclipse without actually seeing it. For people who are blind or visually impaired, astronomers are working on a way to create devices that turn light from the sky into sound. Researchers say the absence of sight causes the brain to enhance other senses. The new technology is meant to allow everyone to experience the rare total solar eclipse.
It's going to be inclusive, and having any technology that makes it possible for us to have an experience, an actual experience, rather than somebody simply describing it to us, is always fantastic.
The light-to-sound devices will be at public gatherings in cities where the eclipse will be visible on April 8th.
Today marks a milestone for Ernest Jones of Wake County. Mr. Jones is celebrating his 100th birthday. The World War II Navy veteran, devoted husband and father of 10, is a pillar in his community. And that's not all. Mr. Jones has 19 grandchildren, 36 great-grandchildren, and 6 great-great-grandchildren. Family and friends plan to celebrate his 100th birthday with a 100-vehicle parade around his home just to show him some love. Happy 100th birthday, Ernest Jones. How about that? He's also the uncle of one of our Emmy Award-winning producers and directors right now, Kieta. So congrats.
Oh, that's so awesome. Mr. Ernest, what a gift it is to not only be able to meet your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren.
I know.
And he looks great. Oh, we hope he has a wonderful birthday. Hope he eats some cake.
And thank you for your service.
Yes. The icing on the cake, though, is this beautiful weather. Oh, now, that's a gift in itself that we can all enjoy.
It could be an outdoor party. It sounds like it's going to be a really big party with all the family members there to celebrate. Just keep in mind this weekend, if you suffer from seasonal allergies, you're going to want to stock up on the allergy medicine. We'll have very high tree pollen through the weekend and early next week. It's not just warm, but it's windy, so that's going to lift all the pollen that accumulates up into the air for us to breathe in. So just keep that in mind. But boy, it's going to be beautiful. A lot of folks are going to want to spend some time outside.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
Two 13-year-old boys are recovering after being shot yesterday. Authorities say the shooting happened in the area of Lakeland Street and Ridgeway Avenue in Durham. Police say this is an active investigation and no other details are available right now.
Today, we're remembering the life and legacy of Louis Gossett Jr. The award-winning actor died this morning in Santa Monica, California. He played some of television, stage, and screen's most recognized characters. Louis Gossett Jr. was 87 years old.
The big day two of the round of 16 for Triangle teams in the NCAA tournament. NC State and Duke play tonight. Wolfpack play Marquette tonight, 7:09 tip-off. 30 minutes after that game ends, Duke will play top-seeded Houston. If both local teams win, they'll play each other in the round of 8 on Sunday. WRO's Chris Lee is in Dallas. He'll have coverage of both those games for us tonight. New technology is helping researchers learn more about the founding fathers' families. Members of George Washington's family were buried in unmarked graves at his Harewood Estate in West Virginia. Researchers were working to confirm which one belonged to Washington's brother, Samuel. In 1999, they excavated 5 graves, but it wasn't until recently they could get enough genetic material to confirm identities. They compared it to a living descendant, Samuel Walter Washington, who is the current owner of the estate. The remains were from Lucinda Payne and her 2 sons, 2 of Samuel's grandsons. Samuel Washington's remains have not yet been found.
Beyonce released her new album at midnight, and it delivers what fans have been hoping for and more. It has 27 tracks, features Miley Cyrus, Willie Nelson, Post Malone. She also includes her daughter, Rumi. A new take on Dolly Parton's Jolene is also included, with a prelude from the country queen herself. This version of Jolene is a little different, a warning to a woman who wants to steal her man. Lyft and Uber are offering discounted rides in celebration of Beyoncé's new album. Uber's 16 carriages code will get you 16% off a ride, while Lyft is offering 60% off with the code LIFTING with 2 I's. Both codes come from songs on Cowboy Carter. The codes are valid until midnight tonight.
Well, it's time to take a look at our pet of the day. Mr. Pants is his name. He's a 2-year-old short hair cat.
Mr. Pants was found with a hurt paw wandering alone. Now that he is healed, he's ready for a forever home.
And he's super friendly and loves to cuddle up with people. We don't know how he does with other animals or young kids.
If you're interested in adopting Mr. Pants, call the number on your screen or visit spcawake.org. Coming up on WRL News at 4, the effort to save dozens of dogs from the war-torn Gaza Strip. How one local man helped bring them to North Carolina to find new forever homes. We thank you for spending part of your afternoon with us. We hope you have a safe holiday weekend. NBC News Daily is next on WRL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Happy Easter, everyone.
Keep watching WRL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.